come to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Prince and the Prophet, was written by Peter Lyon. It is suggested by the biblical book of Isaiah and is presented as part of the National Observance of Brotherhood Week.
Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the peoples renew their strength. Let them draw near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who hath raised up one from the east, at whose steps victory attendeth? He giveth nations before him, and maketh him rule over kings. His sword maketh them as the dust, his bow as the driven stubble. He pursueth them, and passeth on safely. The way with his feet he treadeth not.
Reach back 2,500 years over the graves of 75 generations. An upstart princeling has usurped his grandfather's throne, has proclaimed himself king of the Medes and of the Persians, and has proceeded to conquer in battle Croesus of Libya, richest king of the world. This is Cyrus, who now pauses before turning to conquer more lands, pauses to consolidate his triumphs.
What news from Harpagus?
Oh, king... But can these affairs not wait till tomorrow?
I sent him at the head of an army into Ionia to collect me some taxes and capture me some prisoners to swell my command. What news?
He has captured Thasio, O king, but the people of the town have fled and all their riches with them. And at Teos, the same story.
Inspired victories.
The rest of the territory, O king, is his. To add to the money you have raised already, he sends 2,000 talents, but adds...
Prisoners, I need more soldiers.
Harpagus adds that the men of... These cities are poor fighters at best, and not fit for your imperial levy. He is now proceeding to attack the Carians, the Cornians, and the Lycians.
All Greeks, or stock of Greeks. Is this the sort to train to send against Babylon and Egypt?
Sire, it grows late. A feast awaits in your tent, and then...
Glaucus, the feast will wait.
But a king should not trouble himself over such matters as the raising of a few hundred paltry talents or the capture of a few thousand shivering prisoners.
Quiet, Glaucus. You're a fool. I ask you, what other business has a king?
Perhaps further to the south, sire, when your captains enter the land south of Caria.
And we shall be marching in that direction, too, as soon as we're ready to move against Babylonia.
Well, let's see, what are those lands called?
Lebanon, Samaria.
Mountain country. All that country down there is rough, all the way as far as Judea.
Judea? Judea?
Yes, sire, that's
I don't remember ever hearing the name of that country before. Judea.
Oh, but they have heard of you, O king. I heard a man among them singing your praises when I returned through there from my mission to Egypt.
Oh? What sort of thing did he say?
Cyrus, if you would...
Hold a moment, I'm curious. Glaucus, what were these praises you heard of me?
Let's see now, what was it? Something about a mighty king from the east, that's you, of course, and how the nations bowed before you and your sword made them as dust, and how you pursued them and they could not harm you.
In Judea, you say? Mm-hmm. Now, how do you suppose it? Way down there.
Not much of a country, it isn't. In bondage to Babylon, you know. If you're thinking of trying to find soldiers there, you're looking in the wrong direction, believe me. All the soldiers in the country were taken into captivity by the Babylonians years ago. The country's half desert, half mountain.
Hmm. Who did you say this man was had heard of me?
I don't think I caught his name, sire. Some sort of local religious figure. He was a priest, or perhaps...
Cyrus, do pay attention. We need at least 5,000 horses, and if we're to get them, I'll need to have...
You're right, of course, sorry. Now, let's see, had you finished giving me the news of Half Pocket?
I have roused up one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun, one that calleth upon my name. And he shall come upon rulers as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay.
A year, and then another. And Cyrus the upstart has become Cyrus the Great, and rules Babylon as he rules the rest of Asia Minor. And he has discovered that besides soldier, he must be administrator too.
O king, live forever.
Come in, Glaucus. Come in. What is it?
The same problem, sire. Too little corn for too many people.
They thoroughly deserve to have been defeated, these Babylonians. They're really very stupid people, Glaucus.
Yes, sire.
You agree? Why do you think they're stupid?
For the same reason as you do, sire. Because they dared to oppose their feeble forces against yours.
Their forces were not feeble. They dared do no less. There is no stupidity in these things, Glaucus. No, the Babylonians are stupid because they held so many prisoners here in their capital. Prisoners need guards. To maintain guards is to strip the fields of farmers. But prisoners need food, so do guards. Where there are no men to work the fields, there is no time.
You remember when our army marched in? They were in the middle of a great festival. Dancing, reveling.
They had no time for anything else. So now the city needs corn.
Mm-hmm. There's nearly none left.
Only one thing to do. Get rid of some of their foreign exiles. Send them back where they came from.
Free captive exiles?
Oh, but sire, if such an idea were to get abroad...
Which people is the most numerous?
Well, there are thousands upon thousands of Judeans. But, sire,
Judeans. Why do I know that name? Where is Judea again?
Sire, I have but just returned from there. You sent me, because the people of the country had been delinquent in their taxes.
Of course.
It's the same country, you remember, where I ran across that devout man who was praising your military victories.
Oh, that reminds me. I met him again.
How many of these Judeans could we send back
home? He was still proclaiming your praises. Compared your conduct in battles to a potter treading on clay.
Who did?
The religious prophet, sire, in Judea.
Oh, never mind that. Tell me, how many of these foreign exiles can we send back without disrupting the whole economy of the capital?
Oh, there's quite a colony by now. 35 or 40,000, I should think, anyway.
But you know... Would that help with the problem of corn supply?
He kept trying to disguise who he was talking about. First time I heard him, he called you one from the east. This last time, you were one from the north. I think he was trying to conceal from the Babylonian governor the fact that he was talking about you.
Now, who, Glaucus, who? You keep changing the subject.
This prophet, or whatever he was, who keeps talking about you, sire, back in Judea.
I've had enough about this man. Who is he? Don't you even know his name?
Huh? Oh, I'm afraid, sire...
Well, go fetch him.
All the way back to Judea, sire?
Be careful, Glaucus. I may yet decide to make you governor of that country if you insist on hinting on how much you love it.
Oh, king, live forever. I assure you.
Enough! You kept talking to me about this Judean. Bring him here. I would see this man who keeps talking about me and who has obviously made such an impression on you.
But, sire, I've only just returned from...
Return to, and quick. Be gone.
Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and to the temple the foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the loins of kings.
O king, live forever.
The Israelite prophet you summoned is here, sire.
Who?
You sent for me, King Cyrus?
Oh, yes. Yes, to be sure. From Judea, of course. You're a prophet, as I understand it.
The voice of the Almighty has called me, O king.
The Almighty? Well, just step closer, if you will. Over here. I'm always interested, as you may have heard, in local religious customs, and so when...
Oh, excuse me.
Glaucus.
Sire?
That's all for the moment. You may leave.
At your bidding, sire.
I thought I'd spare his feelings. Truth is, Glaucus is infernally respectable. Can't bear hearing about any gods except those of his father's. Mm-hmm. Now then, I hear you've been invoking the blessings of your god on my campaigns. It's very good of you.
The will of the Lord be done.
The Lord?
The Lord is one God.
Oh, you have but one God in Judea?
The Lord is the one God of the universe. There is none beside him. Know ye not, hear ye not? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits above the circle of the earth, and there is no God else beside him.
Well, as you say, but what I was wondering was, how did you happen to see fit to invoke the Lord's blessings on my wars? After all, it's not as though I called on your God.
The Lord has roused you up in victory and smoothed your path. You call on the Lord, if not with your words, at least with your acts. You shall rebuild the Lord's city and let his exiles go free.
Oh-ho. That's it. That's the price, is it?
Not for price, no reward.
Rebuild the city and free the exiles. Let's see now. What city is that again?
Jerusalem. You have been called by the Lord so that Jerusalem shall be built and shall be inhabited.
Well, now, as it happens, I have already issued instructions that some several thousands of your countrymen are to be freed. But as to this city, who is to be responsible for its rebuilding?
Oh, King, hear me. Jerusalem must be rebuilt by its people,
that Israel may be free,
and Israel must be free, that the word of the one God may be brought to all the peoples of the world.
All the peoples of the world? Indeed. It's a very large order of business.
The Lord my God holds my right hand, Osiris, and says unto me, fear not, I will help you.
Well, frankly, man, I think you aim too high. How can your people, most of them exiled, the rest impoverished, how can they reach all the world with the news of your God?
After the temple has
because,
been...
look, you must admit it, your people compared, say, to the Persians or the Egyptians, even the Greeks. Why, you're insignificant. Nothing. A worm.
The worm of Jacob. The worm of Israel.
What?
King Cyrus, you're wrong to belittle the worm. The worm, even the lowly worm, as every man who tills the ground well knows, the worm is worth much fine gold. For if a field is without worms, that field is without crops. A world without worms, O king, is a world without food. The worm of Jacob, the worm of Israel, will tunnel slowly, but forever, into the mountain of idolatry, and that mountain at last shall crumble and be scattered away by the whirlwind. Be sure my people is as a worm. And be sure as well that this worm will bring the world the richest food, which is faith and knowledge of the one God.
Well, I'm a fool to think I can ever master the instructions of every local religion. Enough, enough. Let's get down to the practical matters. Those, at least, I can manage.
Permit the exiles to return to Israel.
Done. We may have to keep some of the leaders hostages, you know, and, of course, some of them may prefer to stay here, but we'll send as many back as we can. Next.
Permit the rebuilding of our city, Jerusalem.
Why not? The people I send back will have to live somewhere. Next.
Grant freedom to my country.
Freedom? Freedom is just a word, my friend. What if I guarantee you your own governor and your own self-government? But remember, in order to maintain peace in the empire, I need money, taxes, and in order to...
Peace? You have brought peace?
Think you I have not? Know you of my conquests from India west to the Isles of the Sea? Conquest has brought peace. Conquest and peace have brought your
countrymen freedom. Take what you've been granted, my friend, and be thankful.
Sing, ye heavens, for the Lord has wrought it. Shout, ye depths of the earth. Break forth, ye mountains, into song, forest and every tree therein. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he who formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord, maker of all, who confirms the word of his servant and perfects the counsel of his messenger, who says to Jerusalem, be peopled, and to the cities of Judah, be builded. Yea, all its ruins will I restore. Who says to the deep, be dry, and all thy rivers shall I make dry ground. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my pleasure. But it was promised, it was sworn to me.
What are you talking about?
The king himself promised.
Look, I don't know what he told you. All I know is what I'm supposed to do. I have my orders. That's that.
He said he would free the exiles. He said he had already freed them.
He didn't say he'd bring them across the desert on his own shoulders, did he?
The city was to be rebuilt, the temple to be restored. We were to be free to govern ourselves.
I know nothing of all this.
Don't you hear? I'm telling you what he said.
I hear. I've heard too much as it is. If it hadn't been for you, I don't believe Cyrus would ever have made me overseer in this forsaken land.
What?
Now listen. I have my orders, and here they are. You can read, can't you? Now, does it say anything about self-government there? Does it say anything about the exiles? All it says is, concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offer sacrifice.
I know. I have.
And let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits with 3 rows of great stones.
Well, why are not men at work building it now?
And a row of new timber, and also let the gold and silver. What?
Why is the building not underway?
Does it say anything here about Persians building it?
And Israelites build it if they're in Babylon?
They'll be here. They'll get here. Don't worry.
The king's promises.
Yes. Kings make promises. And I leave it to men like me to break them.
And of the number exiled in Babylon, 35,000 returned across the desert. But when they came to their homeland, they were weary and dispirited and loath to listen. And they murmured among themselves and complained.
The fact is, sir, these returnees aren't anxious to do much of anything except rebuild their own homes.
Well, no law against that. Good idea.
But this, what's his name? The prophet, you know. Yeah. He's always after them to get to work on the temple.
That's quite all right. I know all about that.
But he's bothering them, stirring up trouble.
What? Oh, he is he? Well, of course, we can't have any of that.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll attend to him.
The Lord God hath given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I should know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they that are taught. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore have I not been confounded.
Yes, what now?
Well, sir, it's what's-his-name again, the prophet fellow.
I thought you said you'd take care of him.
It's worse now, sir. He's got the people on his side now. They agree about the temple. But he keeps telling them the king promised they'd have self-government, too. I think it's treason.
What's the prophet saying?
You should hear him, sir. Come along with me out into the streets. Hear for yourself.
Fear ye not the taunt of men, neither be ye dismayed at their reviling.
See what I mean, Glaucus?
Awake!
Let me listen.
Awake! Put on strength! O arm of the Lord, awake as in the days of old, the generations of ancient times. Art thou not it that hewed Rahab in pieces, that pierced the dragon?
Art thou not it that dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depth of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? Who art thou that thou art afraid of man that shall die, and of the son of man that shall be made as grass?
See what I mean, Glaucus? Is that treason or isn't it? Listen.
Because of the fury of the oppressor.
Talking about oppressors now. He means Cyrus, doesn't he?
All right, that's enough. Bring him in. I'll see him at once.
Exile.
I am to be exiled because a king's petty official will not carry out the promises of the king?
You're lucky, my friend. I'm sending you to Cyrus' capital city.
Oh, come, man. Look at it my way.
I can't have you killed, although that's what you deserve, the kind of things you've been spouting in the public places. But if you're killed, there'd be all kinds of brawling and wailing, and I will not be troubled by martyrs. So it's exile for you. And if you think twice, you'll realize you'll be much happier there than in this miserable mountain town.
And the temple.
Are you the only prophet in the country?
Your king boasted he had brought peace.
And so he did, man. So he did. There's not a war being waged in all his empire today. Except to put down a little rebellion in the northwest, some Greeks.
Jerusalem, when will Zion be at hand?
I can't say. But if it's next year, my friend, it will arrive and find you in exile.
My heaven shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. Its people must likewise perish. But my salvation abideth forever. My triumph shall not be abolished.
And the years passed. The trees budding into leaf, relinquishing their leaves and budding into leaf again. A slow and steady rhythm, until it came to pass on a day that Cyrus, and he was nearing the end of his reign, observed the prophet as he dwelt in the capital city, and Cyrus sent for him to question him.
Tell me, who was this that sent you into exile?
The governor. No, the man you appointed to sit above the governor, the man who could break the promises made by you.
Was this a certain Glaucus of Medea?
His name was Glaucus.
A fool. But I can have no satisfaction of him. He is dead these 5 years. And your crime?
He would have it that I spoke treason.
Ah?
And he was right.
Oh, well. In that case, peace be with his bones.
And if I had known then what I know now, I would have spoken far more sharply.
Huh? What wisdom is this?
You told me once how you brought peace through war, through conquest, through aggression.
Yes?
Just as Cain might have said when he killed Abel, now justice has been done and all can live at peace.
I never heard of these people you mentioned, but I understand what you mean.
And your peace. What became of it?
Men's ambition leads them to think they can usurp my power, overthrow me. They must be taught.
Again and again and again.
Yes, and again, if necessary.
There is only one way to teach them.
Besides the sword?
Instead of the sword.
Teach me that way, my friend, and you become my premier advisor.
No, you are not ready to learn. You are a king. And only a man can handle this weapon.
A new weapon?
Service. Service to others.
Service? What kind of a weapon is this?
The only one that will achieve peace. Serving the needs of others as you would have your needs served. Service does not conquer. Service seeks no power. It brooks persecution. Today it will be killed. Tomorrow its strength will reach around and encompass the earth and the heavens above the earth and the seas that lap on the shores of the earth.
Today, I'll swear by my sword.
And so will you die by it. But hear me, O king. Behold, he who serves shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. According as many were appalled at thee, so shall he startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which had not been told, them they shall see. And that which they had not heard, shall they perceive.
My friend, this much I perceive. That you are a dangerous man, wherever you are. And therefore more dangerous here in my city than in your own. So go, and the peace you hope for be with you. And if you find that peace in Jerusalem, it will come to pass here, too.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Eternal Light Drama today, The Prince and the Prophet, was written by Peter Lyon. It was presented as part of the National Observance of Brotherhood Week. Roger DeCoven was featured as the Prophet, Isaiah, Ralph Bell as Cyrus, and Philip Burniff as Glaucus. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The entire production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.